Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Darnold gets the snap, back to pass, looking right, looking middle, backpedaling, throws for the end zone, incomplete, over the head of Jefferson, and the Vikings turn it over on downs. Darnold had time to survey the field, tried to find Jefferson late, the ball went over his head, and the Lions will take over at their own 3-yard line.
That's Ryan Radke on Westwood One. Final score, Lions 31, Vikings 9. Sam Darnold, 18 for 41. 166 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. It was a either come back to earth moment for Sam Darnold, or maybe just a blip, or maybe just a great game plan from Detroit, whose defense was shorthanded, but Perloff last night, they were swarming.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the odds, who's coming out of the NFC, and the Lions are pretty heavy over the Eagles. The Lions are plus 115, so basically even money to get to the Super Bowl. The Eagles are about plus 330, 3-1. I think because it's going through Detroit, it's going to be really hard to knock off this Lions team.
I'm not sold because the defense, yes, they were awesome last night. They had a great game plan for Sam Darnold, and they blitzed the heck out of him, and he had no time to throw, and that showed. I don't think the Lions have enough defense to get home. I don't think they have enough defense to bring this thing home, if you will, because if they meet the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game, and not to fast forward this thing too much, but the Eagles have an awesome defense. Awesome. And if you are asking your defense to close out a game for you, there's a reason why we don't always see the best offenses winning the Super Bowl, Perloff. It's like the biggest cliche ever in sports about defense. But if you're asking, can the Lions defense close out a big game? We saw last year in the NFC Championship game, they couldn't do it. And I think we would see a repeat of the same thing. Maybe your offense gets you out to this big start and big lead, but you're going to keep going forward on fourth down. You open the door to more mistakes, and then you're asking your defense to do too much. And I think this defense is just too injured.
It all logically makes sense. I just picture my poor little Philadelphia Eagles having to go into that dome against that offense. And the Eagles defense has been good, but remember, they're in the NFC East other than Washington. Like, they've had a kind of an easy road. They did play really, really well against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And they had a couple other good games against good quarterbacks. They did very well against Lamar. But generally, they haven't seen the Lions. That's the thing. Like, the Eagles defense looks great, but can they stop like a Jahmyr Gibbs, a running back? This is going to be so cool because it's the year of the running back. It is going to be who can control the ball. So I don't know if it's going to come down to defense, because they're going to play keep away with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. The Eagles are going to try and play keep away with Saquon Barkley. The Ravens are going to try and play keep away with Derrick Henry. Even your Bills are going to try and play keep away with James Cook. I don't know if you need a great defense to win the Super Bowl now because of the running backs. I think offenses are going to try to control the ball and win this thing. And it's going to be an amazing playoff. This is so exciting because there are at least five teams. It's like you have no idea in the AFC. The Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs. And then I think the Lions and the Eagles in the NFC. Then again, the Eagles. You have more faith in the Eagles than I do. We haven't even seen Jalen Hurts in 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been obviously out with a concussion. Now, I'm in the minority here. You guys are voting at Maggie and Pearl on X. Have the Lions left no doubt that they're the team to beat in the NFC? 80% saying yes, they are the team to beat in the NFC. No, they will be beat is only at 20%. So count me in the minority of this one, and I'll stand on it. Because if you're giving me, I think, again, the difference is the Eagles' defense is just better. And, it's funny because we're kind of glossing a little bit. The Eagles' first-round matchup in this playoffs is going to be against the Green Bay Packers, a team you and I both picked to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, we had the Packers both losing in the Super Bowl to AFC teams. I said the Chiefs, you said the Cincinnati Bengals. But my, how the Packers have fallen, because yesterday Jordan Love hits his elbow, causes his hand to go numb. He's out of the game. Malik Willis comes in, and Malik Willis played well in Jordan Love's absence earlier this year and actually didn't play terribly yesterday. I thought they were still going to win the game, but Chicago just would not stop. and they lose that game. So they lose the seeding. They're now the seventh seed. They have to go to Philadelphia. And I don't think anyone's even giving the Packers a fighting chance now. And they were one of the most dangerous teams in the postseason last year. It was a complete surprise.
I give them a fighting chance. I think that they have a formula with Josh Jacobs. Just run it down the Eagles' throat. Try to keep Saquon off the field. That's why.
But no one's been able to do that to Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, but they haven't really seen like a murderer's row of running backs yet. So that's why they actually did have, he had good success against them in the Brazil game.
Sure.
I mean, we're not going to judge the Brazil game. It was like 2 years ago. It was opening like it. Friday night of the season. Jacobs played really well in that game. I just think that at least that's a formula because you don't want to see A.J. Brown and Saquon on the field. I think to beat the Eagles, the Packers are going to try that. I think the Rams are really good at that. You know, Kyron Williams. I think you're going to have to keep basically those two weapons off the field for the Eagles. I just don't know if Hurts is not, like, if Hurts is one hit away from being out of the playoffs, then the Eagles are done. He's coming off a concussion that it's 2 weeks that he hasn't played.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how bad the concussion symptoms are, or did the Eagles just see an opportunity to rest their quarterback and maybe give him a little extra rest because they had basically locked things up? I mean, the rest of the NFC East, well, the Commanders obviously did a great job. They're in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game. Washington hasn't in 19 years since they last won a postseason game, but the Eagles had already clinched the division.
Yeah, by the way, Washington did not look great last night. I know they did win the game. The first half when Jaden Daniels was in there, he was bad.
Well, Marcus Mariota is like,
he played great. He was awesome.
They weirdly kind of waved the white flag on the game by putting Mariota in. Now, they ended up winning the game. But they appeared to wave the white flag, and it was odd because at that point, Green Bay and Chicago is a game. You don't know the outcome. It was totally in the balance. And you could have ended up with the seventh seed, and then you're going to play a division rival in Philadelphia? No thanks.
I mean, the funny thing is, look at the stats. Jaden Daniels was 6 for 12 for 38 yards. Marcus Mariota came in 15 for 18, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And he ran for 60 yards. He was on point. He saved that game. I actually was wondering, do they know something that we don't about the Eagles that they wanted to face the Eagles? It felt like the Packers and the Commanders just didn't care at all yesterday.
Very, very strange. I mean, I would be trying to avoid the Philadelphia Eagles at all costs. Meanwhile, the Commanders, where were they? They were in Dallas, Texas, glad you asked. And that's where we find our Cowboy Quickie. By the way, you're still welcome to weigh in on the Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, 855-212-4227. But let's get to the future of Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones spoke for 40 minutes after the game. We're going to save you that time that you would never be able to get back in your life. And we're going to play the one relevant clip that you need to know. Jerry asked about the future of Mike McCarthy.
Have you made up your mind on Mike McCarthy?
No. Well, the point is that all that I'm going to look at that I was asked, I was answering that question, and that was, does the outcome of this game really impact his future? And I said, no. All of the things I'll consider haze in the barn.
Your guess is as good as ours. Haze in the barn. I'll tell you what I think it means, bro.
Yeah.
McCarthy coming back. He's been very glowing in his praise for Mike McCarthy. He's a great coach, XYZ. I mean, he said way more positive things about McCarthy than cryptic things. And I think when you say the haze in the barn, well, he's looking at multiple 12-win seasons, et cetera. I think they're looking past this year.
Well, I think he's being genuine that he didn't care what happened on Sunday against the Commanders. And the hay was in the barn. The decision's already been made. I agree. I think they're leaning towards bringing him back. It's not going to go well. Because it's not even McCarthy's fault. Like, McCarthy with this team, like, at full strength and facing a very easy schedule, got to 12-5 and did nothing in the playoffs. None of that's happening next year. They're going to have one of the hardest schedules that I keep on pointing out. And they're not going to have Trayvon Diggs for a big chunk of the season. They're not getting Overshawn back, I don't think, at all. And they are all cap-strapped. He's a Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and soon-to-be Micah Parsons. There's no cavalry coming. Like, they're just not going to have the players next year. They're going to be average.
That's your Cowboy Quickie.
I see 8 and 9, 9 and 8 with Dak Prescott there. Like, that's what we're looking at. So what's the point of that? That question is like, would this be a good opportunity for a full reset? Bring in a young coach, you know, say a 38-year-old offensive coordinator, and say, let's start over. Let's do this the right way. Let's build a champion. Because you always say that he doesn't care about being a champion. Like, this sort of confirms that. This is like, hey, Mike McCarthy can get us to the playoffs. Let's keep him.
Yeah, that's what I always say about Jerry Jones. People say, oh, he only wants to win a title. I don't think that's true. He only wants to keep you thinking that the Cowboys are a title contender. That's the most important thing. He's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe that Jerry really wants to win.
But no one's going to think they're a contender next year. There will not be a single expert to pick them in the Super Bowl.
Okay, but here's the thing about that. So you're kind of advocating for a total teardown. Don't we generally praise organizations who have the trifecta of franchise quarterback, franchise wide receiver, and franchise pass rusher to go along with an improving offensive line? We usually say good things about these teams. And they pay Trayvon Diggs, and yeah, he's definitely hurt now, but they have Deron Bland.
Yeah, who is hurt this year. But anyway,
it's like, they've actually done more right than wrong. The problem with the Cowboys is it's always so dramatic, you know? Mm. It's the holdout. It's the will they, won't they. It's that. I think you would generally praise a team who put the pieces in place that they've put together. You never worry about their offensive line. They're always able to find guys. Okay.
I mean, they just had basically two Hall of Famers leave in the next couple of years, and they clearly have not caught up.
Well, I think that I'm not worried about their offensive line taking a step forward next year. They're young. They're so young. Yeah. You got to give them just a minute to develop. And they didn't even have a good run game behind, like a good running back. Imagine if they actually did have Derrick Henry or anything. I don't know if Henry would have had the season he had, but let's see. You have Lamb. You've got Dak. Whatever you think of Dak, they think he's, you know, 30 other teams would probably kill to have Dak Prescott.
Not anymore.
Maybe 22 other teams would kill.
That is Dak Prescott coming into last year. Now he's older and he's not going to stay healthy. His tendon or his muscle came off his hamstring.
Ugh.
This is not going well. And also CD, let's talk about CD. CD's good, but in a big moment, the way they've been built with no other wide receiver, you know, in a big game that the opposing defense is going to be all over him. He always breaks in that situation. And they have no chance of getting it. They're not drafting a receiver this year. You know who they're drafting.
An interior lineman?
No, they're drafting Ashton Jeddy. That is every mock draft in the history of the world has Boise State running back Ashton Jeddy going to the Cowboys. And you know how Jerry thinks. He wants to recreate Ezekiel Elliott's rookie year. So they're still not going to have a compliment to CeeDee Lamb. I'm just telling you right now, Jeddy is a Cowboy. I will tell you that, and maybe I'm wrong, but that feels like the most obvious mock draft pick in the history of the world. So you basically have this limited offense with Brandon Cooks as your number two. And
well,
about
he's going to be gone.
Well, I mean, who's your number two then?
Well, they're going to have to find a number two.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah, well, I think that they will be able to find another wide receiver. They have to. It's definitely a priority.
They won't.
Okay, well, we'll see. 855-212-4227. So here's kind of the short list of what we're waiting on in terms of coaching. We already know that Gerard Mayo was shown the door. 4-13 on the season. In my opinion, listen, Gerard Mayo wasn't putting on a coaching clinic in New England. Nobody thought he was, and he definitely made some missteps. But the fact that you would fire him after one season, and it looks so obvious they want to bring in Mike Vrabel, like, spare me with the, we've been grooming him for 5 years to take over for Belichick, but the fact that it happened one season too early means we're going to throw the entire plan away. This just makes the Crafts look like absolute clowns. You invested all of this. This is your handpicked guy. You knew it from the moment you and then you're just going to reverse course? I mean, what do we think was going to happen here with New England? You basically had first time everything at every position on the coaching staff. And, can I point out, Gerard Mayo is a former Belichick assistant, and those guys never do well. So you weren't even going to give him like another year to try to develop one. By the way, Drake May, the most important project that you had all season, Pearl, he looks like he's good. And he is panning out. So to me, I thought the Crafts look really silly here. They look like rudderless. They don't understand what's going on. And they'll probably get kick-saved in a beauty by Vrabel, but that doesn't mean it should take them off the hook for how they jerked around Gerard Mayo. That's silly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's going to be a save here with Vrabel. I think they're going to be mediocre for a long time. I mean, I hate to say it, but ever since Brady left, it's over. You know, Robert Kraft's in his 80s. He's never going to see a contender again. I do love Drake May, but even Vrabel, I mean, oh God, this team is going to be tough to watch in the coming years.
So that's a little of what's going on in New England. Obviously, the Vrabel stuff isn't official, but you can connect some dots there.
Yeah, get ready for 10-7 and a second round playoff exit at your peak with Mike Vrabel. I give an offensive coach to Drake May, for God's sake. Please, somebody, get somebody offensive in there.
Well, at least Arthur Smith isn't coming to coach with him because he's with the Steelers right now. So he's still gainfully employed. They can't recreate the air quotes magic that they had in Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think I really want to see Drake May open it up, be like a 40-touchdown guy. And I worry about Vrabel is such a conservative coach.
Yeah, they need the right offensive coordinator to pair with him, no doubt. But at least Vrabel has, you know, like a bit more of, you know, the thing about Gerard Mayo, he didn't have like a Rolodex, you know, in terms of coaches who could come on the staff, because he had only been in New England and he had been a player in New England, then a coach in New England, and he's got all the New England guys there.
Well, he brought in Van Pelt, who is not really a New England guy.
Well, and Van Pelt's been everywhere, but this was the first time he's ever been a play caller. I didn't know that. First time ever as a play caller. So you essentially have a guy who's maybe well-traveled, but still inexperienced in that aspect.
That did not work out. And he seems like a great quarterback coach, but he was not a great play caller. But I kind of disagree. Like, I don't think it's a matter of Mike Vrabel bringing in the right offensive coordinator. He's never going to let an offensive coordinator loose. Like, he's always going to play conservatively. And you're going to win a lot of games that way. But I think there's a ceiling on that, especially when you have a stud quarterback like Drake May. Now, listen, Harbaugh's quite conservative, too, with the Chargers, and maybe that'll work. So maybe that's a formula. Maybe the NFL will look different in 2 years. But aren't you going to be like, is anyone going to be excited about Mike Vrabel and the Patriots?
I think Patriots fans will be. I do.
Maybe. But I think like they're going to be, you know, 16 games at 1 o'clock on CBS for the next several years. I think they're going to be one of the most boring. We're talking about the Titans being boring. The Brady-less Patriots are not a high Q rating team to me. And if you bring in Vrabel, you're recreating the Titans. So enjoy. You're right. Maybe the Crafts just want a winner again after the Belichick era, but I'm not excited about this at all.
He gives them an identity as the hottest coaching candidate in the market, and the fact that the
I think Ben Johnson's also right
okay,
there.
But at least Vrabel's actually coached a team to an AFC championship game. He's gotten a number one seed in the AFC. He's way more proven than Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ben Johnson might get more money because you have no idea what's going to happen every time the Lions snap the ball. I think he's a big deal right now.
So I think a lot of people are kind of penciling in Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, to the Chicago Bears. So here are the other teams that we still haven't heard from in terms of whether or not their coaches or GMs are safe or not safe. The New York Giants, still waiting to see what's the future of Shane and Dable. Obviously, you just heard there with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. The Raiders, what's going to be the future of Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco? The Titans with Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon. The Jags, Doug Peterson, Trent Baalke. And then I'll give you two more. Cincinnati Bengals. Are we 100% sure about Zach Taylor?
I would be. I mean,
you've called them the dumbest team in the NFL. You don't think that reflects on the coaching?
No, there are a lot of dumb teams. I think the Lions do dumb things. I mean, if you look at who has the most personal fouls, the Bengals are probably in that list, but there are other dumb teams who do stupid things. I think that the fact that you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you've gotten to a Super Bowl and gotten to the brink of a Super Bowl with this coach, like you cannot, with the history of the franchise and how much you spend, like you cannot just discount that.
Yeah, I think that Burrow and Chase just bail them out of so many bad decisions and so much boneheaded clock management, play calling. And you're right, it's an epidemic around the league. The Bengals aren't the only ones, but I think Zach Taylor does himself no favors, and it's Burrow and Chase
who just bail him
out of bad decisions all the time.
See, I don't know that Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow without Zach Taylor, just like I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid. This is a great marriage of coach and quarterback. To just give that up for what? like another version of Zach Taylor? Like, or bring in a Vrabel and then gut the offense? Like, what kind of coach would you want?
I don't know if I'm ever getting back to the Super Bowl with Zach Taylor.
Why? You were there, almost there.
And which way are you going?
Well, this year,
season was a debacle, and Joe Burrow had an MVP year.
This year, you didn't really have Higgins. Games where Higgins was on the field, you had a very high winning percentage, and it's basically a lot of special teams.
Well, Higgins isn't going to be there next year, so get ready for life without him.
But, look at the losses. Like, there was a 4th and 16 pass interference against the Chiefs, the best team in the NFL. There was a missed field goal against the Ravens. Like, it was a lot of special teams, a lot of fluky losses. And then they couldn't really, once they had Higgins on the field, like, they were a powerhouse.
They should have lost to the Broncos. That game, the second to last game of the season, they were lucky to win that one because that was the dumbest coach game on earth. Another one, too, just quickly, the Browns. So the Browns fired their offensive coordinator and Ken Dorsey and their offensive line coach. But I was wondering about the Browns. First of all, the Browns are just a wild card. Who knows what their ownership's always thinking. And Stefanski is obviously a good coach, but they've got the second overall pick now. What are they going to do with Deshaun coming off an Achilles? They need a quarterback. They need a lot.
Oh, my God. If Stefanski got loose, that changes everything, though. Can you imagine? I assume Vrabel does go to the Patriot, but can you imagine him with some of these young quarterbacks? That would be amazing. But I think like the Browns are going to say, if we're drafting a guy, which I don't think is a guarantee, then nobody's better developed than Stefanski. And also, if they want to bring in a veteran, you're talking about Rodgers or Cousins or somebody like that. Like, those guys are perfect for Kevin Stefanski. That would be amazing.
If I'm Deion Sanders, and I've already said that I'm going to get involved in wherever Shador is going to go, or Travis Hunter for that matter, I'm standing in front of a moving train to make sure they don't get to Cleveland. I don't want my son going to Cleveland to be what? Another name on the list of, like, you know, t-shirts that are made to troll Browns fans with all the failed quarterbacks there? No shot. I'm using every ounce of my fame and my influence to make sure my son goes anywhere but Cleveland. Don't want him playing with that ownership. Don't want him getting all caught up in whatever's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. None of it.
Well, I don't think there's really a Watson next year. Tore his Achilles in October, and you look at Aaron Rodgers still limping for the first half of the season. But you got a good offensive line, arguably a great offensive line. You got Njoku, and you have Judy, who actually played a little better, I'll admit. I mean, that's some talent. You could put up some big numbers in Cleveland.
855-212-4227. All right, so much to unpack. The NFL playoff bracket is set. We've got more for you, and we're picking our upsets next.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, we have some breaking NFL news. Maggie, will you do the honors?
Yeah, not too surprising, but Doug Peterson has been fired from the Jacksonville Jaguars. The shocker on this is not that Doug's getting fired, Pearl. It's that Trent Baalke, the general manager, is staying. According to owner Shad Khan, that's going to be the arrangement. The general manager gets to stay. The coach has to go. And this is the one phrase no fan base wants to hear from the owner, which is, quote, I will collaborate with the general manager closely to hire a leader who shares my ambition. I don't want the owner collaborating with anybody. That's how you got Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Shad Khan can't pick a head coach, obviously.
Yeah, any owner, right?
No.
You're not just picking out Shad Khan. You're saying any owner can't do that.
Stay far, far away. Let the football people do the football thing. Because if you're going to keep your GM, then you trust him. Let him pick the next coach. Like, you don't have... And obviously the owner's going to have a little bit of a say, but again, I don't trust Shad Khan specifically. He targeted Urban Meyer, wanted Urban Meyer, and Meyer could and maybe will go down as one of the worst NFL hires of all time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The thing about keeping Trent Baalke is the big surprise to me because there were a lot of reports, even this weekend, Breer said that Ben Johnson was a front runner and he was going to get a handpick as GM. So now, I don't think Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, is going to go there if Balky's there. There was even a list of guys that had been in Detroit's front office that he was going to bring with him. Mm. A lot of people thought, like, that was... Pete Prisco said it's an open secret that Ben Johnson and the Jaguars are married, but he's definitely not going there now. Like, he can't go there with Trent Baalke. People have a big problem with Trent Baalke. That gigantic conflict with John Harbaugh in San Francisco.
Jim Harbaugh.
Sorry, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Right. I don't think he's done a great job drafting at all. I think he kind of fell into Trevor Lawrence, who's good but hasn't been developed. This is a mess. This is not good for the Jags.
No, and I think you're right. It cuts down the amount of coaching candidates you may have. Now, listen, are guys going to be desperate to get a job, especially a job where you have a quarterback already in place? And there's a lot of things to like. Josh Hines, yeah. Allen, you got a great pass rusher. There's a lot of things to really like about the Jags. You play in that division, which feels at times like a little bit more winnable in the AFC South, what have you. But you're telling me, like, a guy who has some gravitas, like, I don't think he's going to want to go coach with Baalke. I think you're right. I think Baalke's reputation has been spoiled. Like, you can't get along with Jim Harbaugh. All right, Jim Harbaugh's kind of an odd cat.
Yep.
But now Doug Peterson, like, how many good coaches do you get to survive?
Absolutely. I do think you're right. Trevor Lawrence is a big calling card. He's, you know, coming to his prime. He still has, even when he looks bad, he still looks good. Does that make sense? Like, he's obviously has incredible arm talent. I just worry that Baalke has not drafted a good team year by year. They're never going to be a gigantic free agent. Well, actually, they did try and go in on free agency a couple of years ago. It didn't work. I just don't know where they're going. Like, I feel like if Baalke's still there, kind of doomed to maybe they'll make the playoffs once every 3 years in that division, but it doesn't feel like they're building a champion.
So on the flip side of this, you got the Jacksonville part of it. So now they're looking for a head coach. But for the Doug Peterson side of it, so Doug Peterson overall record 66-64, 5-3 playoff record. Obviously, those three of those wins coming with your Philadelphia Eagles winning a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. You beat Brady and Belichick. Considering the coaching candidates and the landscape right now, you have Vrabel, but it looks like he would likely go to the Patriots. Ben Johnson, I thought, was kind of tied into the Bears. Aaron Glenn, maybe, especially after last night.
Saints, okay. Everyone
maybe
says
the
Saints.
Jets. He was a former Jet. I don't know if he would go there.
Jets aren't going defense, are they?
Well, if they hire Rex Ryan, then they are. I don't know. But there's, like, think about it. The fact that even though it's the Jets, like, Rex Ryan is actually a candidate, it makes me feel like there's a dearth of candidates out there. Is it possible Doug Peterson gets back into this cycle and maybe gets another look?
I can't imagine. You say there's a dearth of candidates, but, like, look at Brian Callahan going to Tennessee. Isn't that, like, most hires or just some offensive coordinator who is with some of these. Also, did you mention Flores?
Like,
Flores,
Brian Callahan's like on the hot seat.
No, I'm just saying, but there's going to be five more Brian Callahan's. It could be Liam Cohen out of Tampa Bay, like a new Dave Canales, like just whatever. Give me a 39-year-old offensive coordinator who showed flashes at the end of the season. Boom, hire that dude. That's way more likely than retreading Doug Peterson coming off Jacksonville.
I don't know. I mean,
did you know about Canales or Callahan last year?
Well, Canales definitely because of the work he did with Baker Mayfield, right? He got a lot of praise for that. Don't know if he's a good head coach, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're praising the fact that Bryce Young has taken some steps forward, but I don't know if Dave Canales is a good head coach. They haven't played in a meaningful game.
I'm not saying they're good or not, but I just think that those young coaches are a good sell to owners. Owners are attracted to those guys. I can't imagine an owner is going to want Doug Peterson. The Eagles didn't want Doug Peterson. You know, like I just can't imagine that he's the guy right now.
Yeah, and to be honest, don't you think Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni, same? I mean, they could have had this similar success.
Totally different. When they hired, Sirianni was the young, hot guy. Like, that's like...
Yeah, now he doesn't do anything.
No, I know the reality. I know what the reality is, but I'm saying if you look at it, who's an attractive candidate, I think Sirianni... There's something about hiring a 38-year-old coach. There's an unknown. You might get the next McVay. You might get the next Shanahan. So I think you know what you have with Doug Peterson. And I don't think owners want that.
Okay, but there's a flip side of this. We know it can be like breakups, right? You're kind of on the rebound. You date the next person who's different than your ex. If you're like the Raiders or something, and you just had Antonio Pierce, I don't know if he's safe or not. Do you want to go with someone who's got a little more experience this time? Maybe Doug Peterson does have a ring. I mean, I think you walk into a room, that matters to some people.
Raiders have to rebuild. So that means a guy who's going to build a future team. That's not Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson's like, you got some pieces in place. He's a really good offensive coach. If the Raiders hire Doug Peterson, I think Raiders fans would be like, this is not exciting.
Bogus, you look like you want to say something. Good morning.
Did you call Nick Sirianni the hot young candidate?
Yeah, when he came out.
He was so not hot that he was on vacation during the hiring cycle. He didn't have clothes for his interview.
Well, I'm just saying.
He came out of nowhere. That's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Robert Sala, I think, was the hot name. That cycle and that one turned out to be awesome.
Was like, oh, you want to interview me? Let me get off the beach. Hold on one second.
Maybe not hot
in the way. Flip-flops.
But they didn't stick around in town for interviews.
He was viewed as like, oh, this young sort of engineer.
I mean, I guess after the fact. But like people were not saying, oh, he's next to get a job.
I don't know about him before. I didn't know who he was.
Right, but he was like, they're like, oh my gosh.
Also, wasn't he on Peterson's staff in Indianapolis?
Frank
Reich's staff.
Right, and Reich was an Eagles coach.
And Reich was the offensive coordinator.
But then there was this clip of him, like people were like, once they hire him, like, oh, this is the young guy. That's what, I'm just pointing out, like, youth and unproven. It's like the NBA draft. You want the unproven guy. To me, most owners are like, don't give me the retread.
Why is Vrabel the hottest name on the market?
There'll be like one or two retreads, and he had to take a year off, by the way.
And
he was coming off a pretty good run in Tennessee, and he couldn't get hired last year, and Belichick couldn't get hired. I just think that like the owners are attracted to the idea of the next guy. I mean, we all are. That's how sports works. Don't you think like there's going to be somebody hired this year, some new Nick Sirianni, some guy who's 36, and like wait, that guy?
I don't know. I'm listening to people talk themselves into John Gruden to coach the Jets. I think I heard Pete Carroll.
You heard from those two agents. You heard from Pete Carroll's agent, and you heard from John Gruden. Have those guys gotten hired?
I don't know. Bogish. All right, so the breaking news, Doug Peterson shown the door, but GM Trent Baalke gets to stay.
And that's not going to include coaching change-wise the Giants. They just released this statement that Joe Shane, their GM, and Brian Daboll, their head coach, will continue in their respective roles with the organization. This, again, is from John Mara. As disappointing as the results of this season have been, Steve Tisch and I remain confident in the process that Joe and Brian have implemented and their vision for our team. So no change from the Giants.
Okay, sorry, one more guy. You know, Joe Brady just turned 35. He might be old enough now to get a head coaching job. Doesn't he fit the mold of what an owner would want? He's the Bills offensive coordinator. Like, that is the hire. Those guys. If you're a 75-year-old owner, you're going to be wowed by a guy who has all his hair.
Yes.
I'll tell you, Joe Brady will get hired before Doug Peterson.
And I would also tell you that you can only look to the New York Giants, who we weren't sure if their coach was safe until 5 minutes ago, that just because you coach Josh Allen doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to come and have the next Josh Allen.
But that doesn't mean that you're not going to get hired. That's my point. Like, Josh Allen's going to get a lot of coaches hired.
He already does.
Yeah.
So again, Doug Peterson's out in Jacksonville, but GM Trent Baalke stays. Peterson joining Gerard Mayo and Browns OC Ken Dorsey on the unemployment line. Mike McDaniel in Miami, Shane Steichen in Indy are keeping their jobs, like Brian Daboll with the Giants. And Bears GM Ryan Pohl said yesterday, interim coach Thomas Brown will get an interview for their full-time gig. For the first time ever, despite all of those injuries on defense, the Lions are the one seed in the NFC bracket.
Play clock down to 4. Goff gets the snap. Back to throw again. Fires over the middle. Caught! That's going to be a touchdown! He found Jahmyr Gibbs right in between the hash marks for a touchdown!
Ryan Radke on Westwood 1. That's when the Lions began to pull away from the Vikings to take their showdown 31-9 last night in Motown. Detroit wins the North and that top seed. Gibbs scored 4 touchdowns, the other 3 on the ground. Here's a proud head coach in Dan Campbell.
Our players will show up and make plays, and because the core of this group has been doing it for 4 years now, and we've added to that, and those guys have just continued to add to it and help us along the way and enhance us, and they did it again, man. Our guys did it again.
His team now gets a week off. The Vikings settle for the 5 seed. We'll play at the Rams next Monday night. Minnesota, the first team with 14 wins to not win its division. Among the other things settled on our final regular season Sunday, the Bucs rallying from a 10-point halftime hole to beat the Saints 27-19, claim the NFC South for the 4th straight year. The Commanders are the 6th seed in the NFC.
Commanders.
After a 23-19 win in Dallas, with the Packers 7th for losing to the Bears 24-22. The Broncos claim the final spot in the AFC with a 38-0 rout of the Chiefs B team. Bo Nix 4 more touchdown passes. And the Titans will pick first in April, followed now by the Browns, Giants, and Patriots. The Cavaliers down the Hornets last night, 115-105. Cleveland's 110 straight. Charlotte's dropped 10 straight. The Pelicans were on an 11-game skid. Then they played the Wizards twice in 3 days. They won both of those games, 110-98 last night in D.C. College Hoops, an injury scare yesterday for number 7 UConn. Paige Beckers did not finish a 30-point rout of Villanova because a Wildcat fell into her left knee. But relative good news post-game from Gino Auriemma.
It's not the worst thing that we can imagine. So that's great news, you know, considering how awkward it was.
Beckers already missed a full season with a torn ACL. UConn plays again on a Wednesday night. U.S. hockey rallied for a 4-3 OT win over Finland to take gold in the World Junior Championships in Ottawa. The Americans winning this under-20 event in back-to-back years for the first time ever. From the pros, the Leafs dropped the Flyers 3-2 in OT. That's a 4-game win streak. And Hideki Matsuyama won the PGA Tour season-opening event in Hawaii. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks. Okay, so we have Doug Peterson is fired this morning by the Jaguars, but yep. The Giants decide to stay the course with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. So as Bogish said, now it's the Giants, the Colts, and Miami who are all keeping their head coaches that had a little bit of question about that. So the Patriots is now open. The Jets is open. The Saints is open. We're waiting to hear about the Raiders.
You mentioned a couple other teams. The Bengals and Browns as maybes.
Bengals, Browns, maybes. Obviously, Mike McCarthy.
I would think Stefanski's staying if he's firing assistants yesterday.
Yeah, but the Browns are so weird. You never know.
I guess. But like he can't just write that email hit send on a Sunday. Like, that's, if he was going to get fired, I don't think that would have happened, as weird as they are.
Well, the other part is their GM safe, Andrew Berry? I mean, who's going to take the fall for the Watson thing? Maybe nobody?
No.
So, by the way, what did the Titans announce? They said, so Rand Carthon's in trouble, right? The GM, but the coach seems safe?
That was just from Schefter. That's not been anything official.
Right, but I'm just saying, if the GM is shaky, then maybe, who knows, maybe the coach is a little shakier than we might think.
And you got the number one pick now. So the question is, like, do you trust the GM that took Will Levis? Granted, Levis in the second round. It's not like he took him in the top five pick. Took a flyer on Levis, I guess. Levis has been bad.
His first pick of the second round, right?
I think that
wasn't a terrible pick.
No, but I think they held that pick, so it was like up for auction for 24 hours. They stayed there. They took him, and he's bad.
Yeah, he's bad. But now you get the number one overall pick. Do you let that GM, who you chose over Mike Vrabel, do you let that GM make the number one pick selection?
I don't know. Gosh, I have no idea.
Yeah. So that's a few of the things that still need to be ironed out here. Probably, do we get a surprise firing?
Yeah, I was about to say, it could be surprises that we don't see coming, because we have a lot of candidates we need to put in places here. We haven't even talked about Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman. There are too many interviews to be had.
Steve Sarkisian was a name that came up yesterday from Adam Schefter.
And how about the crazy Glazer report that teams want to trade for Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, source being Kevin O'Connell's agent, give me more money.
I don't think he needs this report to get more money. I think he's just okay.
Teams definitely want Kevin O'Connell. That doesn't mean the Vikings are crazy and to let him go.
Well, the other one was Mike Tomlin, someone trading for Mike Tomlin. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting twist, because what is Mike Tomlin's agent? What does he care? He just got an extension last year.
We're about like 4 years into Mike Tomlin might leave the Steelers rumors. Are we going to do it for another 20 years? Or at what point are we just going to admit that Mike Tomlin's there for life?
Well, maybe the Steelers finally see an opportunity, because if you can get some draft capital, the Saints got a first round pick and a second round pick for Sean Payton. You're about to maybe come up on a decade without winning a playoff game if you're the Steelers. We're closing in on a decade here, and they're a 9.5-point underdog against the Ravens this weekend. 855-212-4227. All right, we keep the coaching news coming. We also will pick our upset in the first round next. Well, Black Monday indeed. Coach is getting fired. Doug Peterson has been let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their GM, Trent Baalke, is staying, though. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So let's go down the openings now. The New England Patriots, their job is open. New York Jets, open. Saints, open. Bears, open. That's four. We'll see if we get any other surprise firings. We still don't really know about Mike McCarthy. Yeah. We don't know yet about Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. And maybe we get a surprise, maybe Cincinnati, maybe Cleveland. I don't know. Maybe the Titans. I'm not sure.
I've been reading some Twitter on this Jags opening. Our buddy James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network, said this. This is considered by many, talking about Jacksonville, the best job opening in the cycle. Now, when you ask around, the opinion does very much based on the GM spot being open, which it will not be. Mm. So I think there was this idea out there among NFL insiders that the Jags were going to maybe have the pick of the litter because they could tell that coach, you get to pick the GM as well, which would be attractive, I think, to a coaching candidate. But now that Balky's there, that limits them tremendously. I mean, you have to have a coach who wants to be there with Trent Baalke as a very influential GM. And I think a lot of coaches don't want a GM over their shoulder.
No, especially one who couldn't make it work with Jim Harbaugh. Now, granted, Jim Harbaugh sometimes can be a little bit of a different type of dude. And now with Doug Peterson, who I think seems like a go-along-to-get-along kind of guy. Not exactly Definitely. Like Jim Harbaugh. And so now you've kind of flamed out with two high-profile coaches. So if you are a Brian Flores or if you're someone like that, do you want to go work with Trent Baalke? I'm not sure.
No, you judge a guy by his draft history too. I mean, Trayvon Walker's been okay, but he passed on Aiden Hutchinson, who's a generational pass rusher, would have easily been defensive player of the year this year, who was healthy. So I think that is a pick that Trent Baalke is going to regret. The team around Trevor Lawrence is not great. It's just, they have not built a great team. So I'm not really sure how this all works out. It doesn't feel like the Jags are on the brink of something. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be Andrew Luck. I don't even think he's going to be Andrew Luck's Colts. I think that he'll make the playoffs every 3 or 4 years, but it doesn't feel like it's building. Do you feel differently about this team moving forward?
No, I don't. I thought this was going to be a clean house opportunity. Meanwhile, you have teams that are staying the course. That would be Miami, who's going to be sticking with Mike McDaniel, the Colts, who are sticking with Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard, and the Giants, who just announced about 10 minutes ago that they are sticking with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
Of those three teams, the team I'm most excited about, because there's way more variance, I do not know who the Colts are going to be moving forward.
Or week to week, moving forward.
Like Miami, you feel like you know Miami. They're going to be pretty good when Tua's healthy. Tua's not going to stay healthy. They have no Super Bowl aspirations, but they might sneak in the wild card every once in a while. The Giants, they're just going to be spinning their wheels for a while. The Colts, I think Shane Steichen's a really good coach. I think he's won a lot of games with inconsistent personnel in Indianapolis. I mean, a lot of games. Like, the fact that Anthony Richardson is completing 45% of his passes as an NFL quarterback and still has a winning record, to me, something's going right. You don't like Shane? I really like Shane Steichen.
No, I'm not really sold. And it doesn't seem like, you know, you have veterans coming out on the record saying there's no accountability in the building. You've got a guy in Anthony Richardson. Okay, maybe he's got a winning record. I mean, thank Jonathan Taylor probably most likely for that. I think he hasn't improved. Like, where's the steps forward? The guy's either injured, he took himself out of a game, now he's got a back injury.
He's 22 years old.
You drafted him as this big project, but and don't we have to see the fruits of the labor start happening?
Well,
here?
He didn't really
have to finish two seasons with backup quarterback.
I think, yeah, I mean, that's injuries, but I think he has improved a little bit. You know, there was really nothing to go on the first year, but I think you see flashes, and I know there are some NFL people who really like him.
He went fourth overall. Obviously his draft stock was high, but he has not delivered on that.
Yeah, of course he's not delivered on that, but he's still like, there's still big flashes. There's something about it. Also, just watching him is awesome.
Okay, but here's the thing. Flashes are one thing. That's not going to lead to any kind of consistency. That's just flashes. Jameis Winston gives us flashes, and there's no way that he's getting a QB1 job ever again. Yeah, and the other part, too, is the injuries. Like, if we talk about Tua and he can't stay healthy and that's a knock against him, why would Anthony Richardson's injuries be a knock against him? He's a running quarterback who's now got a back problem. Oh, boy.
Yeah, but this is Anthony Richardson after 1 1/4 seasons. Tua, nobody gave up on Tua after a second year. I mean, Tua got a second contract. So to give up on Anthony Richardson, to me, would be weird, especially because you've already put a lot into it. I just think that, like, there's something about the Colts. Yes, maybe they're just bound to be 500 forever, but just the fact that guy won 9 games with Minshew last year, he won a bunch of games this year. They were actually kind of in it despite all the injuries. I see the Eagles without Shane Steichen. The guy's a good, good play caller. He just doesn't really have the team around him yet. I'm very interested in them. Don't you love when Anthony Richardson rears back and throws it 60 yards downfield to Alec Pierce? That's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter to me whether they win or lose. If I actually cared whether the team was winning games, yeah, I would be watching that every time with biting my fingernails off.
EJ, did you see him torture Jets this year? Richardson looked like a superstar against the Jets.
More reason to not believe in Anthony Richardson.
I set you up for that.
All right, coming up, every NFL game summed up in 60 seconds.